celebrants of Advent, Isaiah has often been called the fifth gospel because it is so clear on what was to come. God gave evidence of a child entering the world, the life of a perfect son that would be born in Bethlehem, and unto us a son is given. He would be described as the one who would lead as a prince of peace, but also be the one who would be stricken, smitten, and afflicted. Isaiah had all of the range of the Gospels, and it was 800 years before it even was to be. And so in the book of Isaiah, when we turn to this, our series, Imagine the Comfort, on Isaiah 40, we are going to see how he does not mince words. We do not measure up to God's righteousness, but God has another way. God has given that righteousness, pronounced it, credited to our account through the life of Jesus. Comfort is the theme, Isaiah 40. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up and every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall be made level and the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Comfort isn't just a word, is it? It's been something that we are familiar with from baby on. It becomes a necessity. We nuzzled into our mother and found her protection comforting. And you know, it might be anything of a whole range for you. Everybody has their own comfort food, don't they? Where they go and it makes them feel better. For you, it might be a bowl of chicken soup when you're feeling sick with a cold in winter. Maybe for you, it's the snuggling into a goose down a blanket on a night when they turned the heat down a little bit and it was kind of chilly in the air. For you, it might also be that emotional connection that you needed someone to talk to, a friend, a family member that would be there in the crisis and you would calm down. Now, when you recognize the real comfort, you love it. You love this season of Advent and Christmas because it brings you peace at heart. It's from the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. It is in the words that Isaiah was given so long before and so well professed and then the prophecies fulfilled, that you are going to find that God's love is there for you. And we know we need the protection of God. We know we need that comfort. It reminds me of when I was a kid and we used to poke holes in oranges, not the way Mom always wanted us to eat them. In fact, she would get after us because we would tend to take the oranges and roll them. My brother and I, we would throw them against the wall, even step on them to mash the juice up and then poke the hole in and suck it out, right? So let's squeeze the comfort out of Isaiah 40 today. Turn to page 11 and you'll follow with me what that comforting messenger, not just John the Baptist, but it really is evoking the message of Jesus. As Jesus should arrive, John is the signal, but then Jesus comes and he says, behold the Lamb of God. And there is the message of comfort. First, he tells us to let go of our sin. All of us suffer from some form of PTSD in a broken and sinful world. I think that we now know that it is harmful to spend too much time focused on violence. The medical and even the scientific proof is beginning to show that playing violent games is bad for you. Now, I'm not picking out any person. I'm just stating what they are finding. Dr. Richard Davidson, a professor of psychology and psychiatric studies at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, took 18 to 29-year-olds, and he found some people who were not particularly interested in video games, and especially violent ones, and he subjected them to a test. He put them on the games for 10 hours in a week, and then compared their MRI before and after to see if there was a change. And the trigger words that would show this were the words like hit, hurt, kill. Now, the MRIs of a normal person would register strongly with those words. There would be MRIs that would flash. But with the people that had been subjected to violence repeatedly, there was only a slight blip. They had grown accustomed to. And, you know, they accepted violence. But the good news is that it was reversible. They took them off, and after about a week, it started to return to normal. They did the tests regularly to see whether it would come. It took about a week. There's a very simple solution. Stop. And then the violence begins to disappear. In the Old Testament, at the time of Isaiah, there was already the turmoil that was beginning to happen. Israel and Babylon were coming. Syria had had its way with Judah, and now soon there would become the conflict. Sennacherib, the general of Babylon, would be on their doorstep at Jerusalem and about to tear them apart. What was coming was horrible. It wasn't just war. It was a long siege, starvation, death, mutilation. It was as bad as it gets. And then when it was all done, you'd think it would be over, but the survivors were taken away in captivity and turned into slaves. So their pain went on. It wasn't just the pain of the loss of Israel and the loss of Jerusalem, but it was the harshness of being removed from their home. And you know, if it's like that, if that actually had happened to us, you can't just close your eyes and pretend that it's going away. You can't just simply stop and let it go. And so to these people, to us as well, the words come. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Tell her that her heart's service has been completed. These are words spoken to people who are in the war-torn time, but it goes so far beyond. To demonstrate what it was like at the captivity, which actually then occurred, Psalm 137 was written. He said, by the rivers of Babylon in captivity, by the rivers of Babylon we sat and wept when we remembered Zion. There on the poplars we hung our harps. It's when the alleluias get stuck in your throat. There's no praise left. And sometimes our life feels that way, doesn't it? If you follow the world, you'll think that you can escape it all with pretend. Like the beautiful snow that came. The other day, it was kind of nice to see that blanket, that first blanket over everything. I sometimes notice that my neighbor can see more during winter. All the leaves are off, and my backyard isn't as pretty as it once was with all the green. And so I welcome the snow to cover everything over. But doesn't sometimes the glitter and all the sights and sounds and mesmerizing advertisements, doesn't it sort of gloss over the reality of the trouble? It's pretty close to home. In our homes, there's hurt. And there's war-torn dialogues. There is pain. You know, what's really going on is that at Christmas time, the homeless don't exactly have it good in Wisconsin because it's cold out. And what's really going on is that your bills don't get paid. They get higher because of the heating bill. And what's really going on is that death doesn't wait to strike until Christmas is over. You know, addictions and temptations don't take the next jet down to Miami and take a few days off. They're around. Sometimes, even during the most wonderful time of the year, we would like to just get away. But would you rather have a pretend answer or a real soul-satisfying comfort? You see, that's the message of Christmas. God comes and says, I have a solution. I have a route out of the trouble, out of the sin. God tells us he's reversed our complication, our terminal condition. We will not face death. Her sin has been paid for. She has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. You can see it as John the Baptist points to Jesus and says, there's the solution on him, the Lamb of God. Isaiah 64 says that even our best acts are filthy rags. And that's the trouble with the world, is they're always looking in humanity for a solution that had to come from another source. It had to come from another world. The Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. This is the same Isaiah that would reach the pinnacle of 53. And he would talk about the transference of guilt. He would talk about the pain of the cross. He would prophesy in advance how difficult that job would be for Jesus. He was delivered for our offenses and raised for our justification, Paul would later say, because God would have the supreme evidence and announcement that it was done. It isn't just his announcement at the cross, it is finished. But it is welcome back, Jesus, on Easter morning. Paul says, since we have been justified, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. Every day, every hour, every minute, we have a secure peace. Secondly, he tells us to look for God's glory. God reveals things that no human could ever have accomplished. He says, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Make it an easier path as the Lord should come. The rugged place is a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed. All mankind will see it. You know, we don't understand because we weren't there, but we have the record. In Daniel, we heard the conflict with Babylon and Belteshazzar as the hand would write on the wall. But the people of that day could not have imagined overnight God would upend Babylon. Overnight, the king would be assassinated and the Medes and Persians would take over. And guess what that new king would be like? Cyrus would be the one that would declare it's okay for the Jews to go back home, to reestablish the temple. And just like that, the fulfillment of God's word had occurred, and the glory was evident. Now, that's not the only time. It's throughout the Old Testament. Can you imagine being in the wilderness? And your kids wake up and you think they're as happy as Wisconsin kids when it first snows. You know, on Thursday night, I asked the parents, did your kids like the snow? And sure enough, it seemed like every kid under 8 years old had been outside trying to use the snow. Most of them trying to sled. It just was too fluffy. It was too little of snow. They're out there. They're just so excited. The beauty of the snow. And out of a tent, a mother said, look, it's coming down. We don't know how it arrived, but it was there. Manna. Food. On the ground in such abundance you could scoop it up. I can imagine it would be easy to overeat, but it was there as the glory of the Lord. No chicken soup or soft mashed potatoes could compare. And you see, that's how God is preparing hearts for the real and lasting day. It isn't the manna that we see. It's the manger. He's bringing a miracle, a gift from heaven that would be the supply, that would be everything we need. It is the gift of his son arriving at the lowliest place to give a new way, a new beginning. John 1 says, the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. It's simple. Only God could come up with such a solution. The simplicity and beauty of a baby born in a manger, bringing healing for all. And the song at Christmas that kind of tugs at our heart is, Mary, did you know? What a beautiful child. Third, he tells us to linger on the word of God. We've come to accept a world of dying, and we really shouldn't. All around us. You know, the grass withers, the flowers fall. And that's in this text from Isaiah. He says, a voice cries out, what shall I cry? All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. Have you had a pet that didn't make it as long as you did? I'll never forget having to put our 14-and-a-half-year-old dog down, taking her to the vet. And it isn't just animals, is it? It's some of our nearest and dearest, our loved ones. Age creeps along, doesn't it? Some of us feel it more than others. And then comes the day when it is our turn. We don't want to let go of those that we love, but we have to recognize the flowers fall. According to that, many people would ask, well, what makes it a good Christmas? Certainly not if we had great loss. But most people would focus on the physical aspects. They would say, well, if I can get through my 16 parties and my 32 gifts, and I can make it through the Christmas day without any warfare in my family, and then it'll be a good time. They have taken a poll that 8 out of 10 people say they're better off after Christmas than during. But is that us? It shouldn't be. That's why we're here. We're here to hear the words comfort. Not comfortable. He didn't say comfortable, because so many people are trying to get comfort from becoming comfortable. They wait, and they don't understand that the stress is never going to lighten. It has to be handled from a different position and perspective. That all the stresses just melt away when you see the baby, when you see the promise attached, when you see the soul-satisfying comfort that there is no death in that manger, not anymore, because he has come to bring us life. God tells us to cling to a world of the living. And he has said in this, you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and enduring word of God. And what Peter means by that is that the seed planted in a human heart takes a person beyond. It is an eternal gift. It is there that the word of God planted in a person gives hope. Think of all the ways that we try to hide from our fears. When you're a kid, you hide in the closet, you pull all the blankets over you, you hide under the bed. And when you're in warfare with your spouse, you just stop talking. You hide out that way. And sometimes when you were in class and you felt embarrassed or made fun of, you just stopped raising your hand. We hide in many, many ways. There was a man in Phoenix. They finally found him. He was wanted for 40 or 50 major crimes, and they simply couldn't find him. You know why? Because he had gone to an extent that most people would be afraid of. It's rather painful. He had fake fingerprints put on his hands that belonged to no one. And so they couldn't ever quite catch him because they couldn't identify him. I hid because I was afraid, said Adam. And yet, the word of God says, you have a shepherd who will come and look for you. And just like that, God is by Adam, and he's looking for his confession. And even when he doesn't get it solidly, he says, but I will send you help. There's a voice telling us to lean on God's arm. Comfort them and tell them there's a new path in the desert, that they're going to be led away from all of this desperate condition. I think it's important for us to hear this because the messenger is so strong. He would be fearful to us if he wasn't on our side. Yet he is tender. Exactly what he says. You who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up, do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here's your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power. His arm rules for him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. Now a sheep that was fearful and maybe even trembling probably could hear the heart of the shepherd as he would wrap up that little one. And that's what makes you hurt when you hear a story. I've told it before, but I don't think I've ever told it about the person. In South Wales in the early part of the 1900s, there was a mother caught in a blizzard. No way that she could have known that it was going to be so severe. And it was so severe that she did not arrive at her destiny. And the next morning when they finally were able to go, they went out in fear of finding her frozen, and she was. They found her body, and she was nearly uncovered. And then the story unfolded. She had taken off everything that she could and wrapped it around her infant son and held him tight until she froze. But he was still alive. Interestingly enough, he turned out to be the Prime Minister of Great Britain. And his name is David Lloyd George of the early 1900s. You know, he was able to escape the difficulty by simply resting in the arms of the person that loved him. Where are you going to find peace this Christmas? Is it going to be in the pretend or in the busyness? It's not there. It is only in the arms of the manger child, he who is humble enough to value you, love you, adore you. He never will leave you alone. Isaiah's voice brings us a renewed comfort. His words are different than the world around us. He says, proclaim that their sins are forgiven. And there we see Jesus, the real comfort and the real meaning. Amen.